So if you will, just repeat after me. I have supernatural strength. I have supernatural stamina. I have supernatural provisions. I have supernatural wisdom. I have supernatural wealth. I have supernatural health. I have supernatural favor. I have supernatural peace. I have supernatural faith. I have supernatural life. I have supernatural grace. I have supernatural joy. I have supernatural hope. I have supernatural love. I have supernatural forgiveness. I am a supernatural giver. I am a supernatural receiver. I have supernatural fire. I live and move in the supernatural as easy as a bird that flies through the air, and as easy as a fish that swims through the water. I have supernatural relationships at church, at home, on my job, and in my community, and throughout the world. The Lord is strengthening us. The Lord is establishing us. The Lord is settling us. Amen, somebody. Hallelujah. You know, the scripture tells in Philemon verse number 6 that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you. Sometimes we forget to acknowledge what's in us. And when you don't acknowledge what's in you, you're looking for something else. Amen. God deposited everything in you that you need to win and overcome with in this life. He already deposited there. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And of course, this word that the Lord spoke to me, I've released my angel to undergird thee and to bring thee into a safe place. Therefore, do not fear, for all will be well, says the Lord. Amen. All will be well. So somebody said, what's going on? I said, all is well. All is well. Y'all move yet? All is well. Amen. All is well. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yeah, it's amazing how sometimes how some people are so interested when they know something hadn't happened yet, but they so seem so interested in you. And then all of a sudden when it manifested, you don't see them no more. Like Dave said, the big word is attitude, attitude, attitude. What's the heart like? Amen. If you're genuinely interested and want to be a part of something, then by all means, act like it. Amen, somebody. Praise the Lord. You got your Bibles with you today? Lift them up and wave them around and repeat after me. This is my Bible, my very own Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I shall be taught from the living word of God, and I will never, never, never be the same again in Jesus' name. My life will be better after having heard the ever living precious word of God. I will never, never, never be the same again in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Never, never, never be the same again in Jesus' name. Glory to God. We've been talking about the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And it seems like, you know, where the church is concerned, sometimes if you've been in the church for more than a year, sometimes you can get to the place where you become dull of hearing. And you hear certain things over and over and over and over, and you go like, yeah, I heard that before. I heard this and I heard that. But the question is it something that's practical in your life? When you face situations and circumstances in life, do you apply the things that you know or you acknowledge that you know? Do you apply them to your everyday situations or circumstances, or do you just have a lot of head knowledge? You know, we read the scriptures. We exhort people to read the scripture, read through the Bible, spend time meditating, studying, doing all these things in the scripture. And people do that. There are people that step up and they do it. But you have to be careful that you don't come to the place where you become dull of hearing. Or you just mentally acknowledge the fact that I've heard that taught before. Brother so-and-so taught on this. you taught on this such and such time ago. And we got to make a decision that regardless of what service we come into, we come in with an attitude, I know nothing. Because if you come in knowing everything, you're not hardly going to hear anything. Amen. In other words, we have to be like little babes. We have to be like the little birds. You see the birds that's in the nest, they just hatched out of the shells and the eggs and everything. And they're sitting there and their little mouths are just going like this. You know, when we first become Christians, that's usually the way we are. Man, we can't get enough. We can't get enough. Oh, man, every Bible study, any study group that's going on, other people outside of your church, they got stuff going on. You're going there. Man, it seems like 7 days a week you're doing something where the Bible is related. And then there's an excitement about you. Always chirping. Just think of the little bird. Always chirping. Always chirping. Why? You're excited. Why? You're excited about life. And then somewhere along the line, we come to the place where we become like this. And sometimes it's just, we ain't open up anymore. Why? Because we're looking at this and looking at that and focus here and focus there. Life will bring a lot of challenges to you. And you can have all these things in your possessions. They're yours. All of heaven is behind you. They're backing you up. And your mouth is still closed. Somebody told me one day, never run towards your giant with your mouth closed. Remember David. The giant was talking to him, telling him that what they were going to do, what he was going to do to him. And David kept his mouth moving. David kept talking. David said, this day, I'm going to take your head off your shoulders. In other words, David was not looking at how big he was and how big Goliath was. He was looking at something that was on the inside that he built up because he recognized that God is bigger than anything that I've ever faced in life. And if God is bigger than anything that you ever faced in life, it doesn't matter about the physical stature of it. What's on the outside, what matters is what's on the inside of you. And if you see who you are and whose you are, you keep your mouth moving. You keep believing. You keep standing. You keep speaking. People say, oh, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. I'm bored. Yeah, you bored. Okay. All right. You're just looking at wrong things. Amen. The things that should excite you should be the same things that excite the Lord. You know, one thing that brings excitement to a family is anytime there's a newborn baby. And when there's no more excitement in the church, when the last time somebody got saved? When the last time you ever led somebody to the Lord? Amen. Sometimes we stop realizing that life is really not so much about everything else as it is about him and what his desires are. Amen. He desires that every man would be saved. How would they be saved unless somebody came and preached? Let somebody talk to them. Let somebody share with them the story. Not your story so much as his story. Because my story won't save you. My story may encourage you, but his story will save you. So we got to keep talking. We got to stay hungry. I love something Les Brown. He always said, you got to be hungry. You got to be hungry all the time. And life is going to dump on you. But I tell you, you got to keep moving. You got to keep swinging. You got to keep stepping. You got to keep jumping. You can't lay down because life will dump on you. And next thing you know, you're under a pile of whatever. Amen. And so when it comes to the things of God, we got to make sure that our ears, which the Holy Spirit and Jesus talked about, said, take heed how you hear. He that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. I never wanted to be said of me that, you know, all of a sudden I find myself in the presence of the Lord. And I'm like, God, why didn't you tell me about this? And God just run the video back, said, you were in the service. But no, you weren't paying attention to that. Your mind was over off on such and such. And sometimes even our bodies scream. You got to bring your body under. Put it in subjection. Say, listen here, body. The word of God said this and so about you. And talk to it. And stand in faith. Somebody said, oh, but you don't have the pain that I have. Listen here. In faith, speak to it. Use the weapons that we have. We know the scripture, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the what? Pulling down a stronghold. Let's go. Guess what? The name of Jesus is stronger than any other name. Amen. You know, and sometimes we call every other name more than we do on the name of Jesus. Even though the scripture said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. They shall be delivered. Bless God, I start calling. Amen. Sometimes we're too cute. Sometimes we think about what everybody else say. But you know, if I'm hurting and he said, if you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Guess what I'm doing? Jesus. Amen. I'd be like the man that was blind Bartimaeus who was sitting by the roadside. Amen. Sometimes we're sitting by the roadside in life. And sometimes we got all kind of challenges at us. Bartimaeus was blind. That was his condition. They never said anything about what else he had, but they said he was blind. And of course, that if your sight is gone, that's a bad. I can't think of anything that could be. Well, Helen Keller said the only thing that's worse than being blind is not having insight. In other words, you see from the inside. Once you lose out on the inside, you messed up on the outside. Amen. Oh, glory to God. So. The inside, we got to get that right. And God has given us our ears and everything to help us to help the inside. And as you build the inside up, then you can help other people as well. Because, you know, when you and I go out, we're going to face other people that got challenges that are worse than us. And you better know something on your inside. We sing songs. My God is greater, our God is stronger, until you face something. Then you say, what are we going to do? Somebody said, call 911. See, you have to become aware of what's on your inside. And I look at the early church in the book of Acts especially. We started last Sunday and talking about this. That the early church, there was an emphasis about the name of Jesus that was much greater than what we even see today. So many times we use terms and we're just so casual about them. In the name of Jesus this, in the name of Jesus that, and not even really thinking about what's going on or the power and everything that's behind that name. There is power in the name of Jesus. There's a song we used to sing. I remember years ago we had Dr. Savelle at our camp meeting, Jerry Savelle, and we used to sing this song in the church. There's power in the name of Jesus. Sickness has to go because of what we know. There is power in the name of the Lord. See, for me, that's not just a song. That's a declaration. You know, anybody can sing. Anybody can repeat words. But to make it a reality in your life, you got to stomp your foot. In other words, you have to become planted. And so, no, this is truth. This is not just a bunch of religious gobbledygook. This is reality. There is power in the name of the Lord. Sickness has to go because of what we know. There is power in the name of the Lord. Therefore, I judge my body. Therefore, I judge this situation. I judge that circumstance. The scripture talk about being planted. When you become planted, you become established in something. Say, no, it's this way, no other. If you don't become planted, you accept a lot of substitutes. Some people, they're so planted that they're not planted in the things of God. So anything anybody say, they jump for this, they jump for that. People make more money off of people selling stuff to people that are not planted. All your wealth, you got plenty of money, but yet you just hand it all out to any and everything. Well, we'll try this, we'll try that, we'll try that. How about just sticking with the word? Amen. You know, they got, well, we're going to try this vitamin, that vitamin. They got all kind of vitamins out there. You ever go in, especially here in America, go in the grocery store and the health food store. They got 30,000 decisions for you to make. You know, and some people, that's their life. They spend their life there. I spend my life here. The word is life. The word is Jesus. Amen. And guess what? The word affects every part of our body. Now, I'm talking about the name of Jesus, but I just felt impressed of the Lord. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4 real quick. Proverbs chapter 4. I believe the Lord wanted me to emphasize something here. Beginning with verse number 20. It says, my son or daughter, because he was talking to his son. That's why I said son. Says, my son, give attention to what? My words. Incline your ears to my saying. In other words, lean forward. Some people never change their position. But it said, incline your ear. That means stretch your neck. Incline your ear to my what? What the word? To my saying. Okay, let's stick with the Bible. Not what you think you say it. Do not let them depart from your what? Keep them in the midst of your. Now, that's not talking about your blood pump. That's not talking about your blood pump. In your soul, in your consciousness. Keep them there. Why? Why is that so important? Why is that so important, Rusty? They are what?
Life.
They are life to those that what? And what else?
Health
or medicine to all your flesh. How much of it? All of your flesh. The words that we give our attention to, from God's words, that is, that we give our attention to, they are life to those that find them, health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows what? The issues of life. Amen. Out of them flow certain things. Notice all this is talking about what's within you. Amen. That's all within you. Sometimes the church can be the sickest place in society. I wonder why. I wonder could it be because, don't know for sure, but I wonder could it be because they're not giving attention to God's word. They're not inclining their ears to hear his sayings. They let the word depart from their eyes. They do stuff from memory only. There's something about reading the word. Let your eyes look right on. Now, if God said, let your eyes look right at it, then look at it. Somebody said, you think there's some virtue in reading the word? Yep. Yep. Sure, I have the Bible on CD. I listen to the Bible, got it on my smartphone and all that. But that's not the number one way. That's number two way. That's not affecting my eyes. That's affecting my ears. So not only do your ears need to be affected, your eyes need to be affected. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Now, continuing down, verse number 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Could it be another reason? People ain't got their mouth right. That sometimes the church is the sickest place in the community. And it should be the most healed. Some people don't change the way they talk, what they speak. They're saying in everything. And sit there, and they're coached many times. If you sit there and watch TV, you know every TV program that comes on, talking about, you know, basically secular program, they have commercials around the program because they know what the viewership is. And they're selling you something. Isn't it amazing? I mean, you don't see little kid, you look at cartoons, and they're not talking about, you know, man, what's some of them drugs that you have for heart conditions? Name something. Flavix. They don't have that with cartoons. Yeah, they're selling Barbies. They're selling things that age appropriate and whatever their needs are at the time. So you got to pay attention because they're feeding something to you. And you sitting there watching this thing. All of a sudden, you see some guy come on. They're looking so bad. And they say, I got this fever. I got hay fever. Now, who told him you had it? And then you understand he's an actor. Or they're an actor. But they do a great job of portraying what you should look like. And some people say, all of a sudden, they're sitting there looking at it. And you look at this stuff several times a day. And all of a sudden, you know what? Yeah, I might have the hay fever. Why do you think you got the hay fever? Because you're inclining your ears to hear something that's contrary to what God said. And your eyes are looking at things. You're beholding. You know exactly how to act. Walk around with a thermometer in your mouth, old robe, old slippers, hair not combed. And walk around like that, you know, because you've seen that on TV. And you go look at, go by, walk by the mirror and look at yourself. Your eyes looking in the wrong place. Somebody said, Pastor, are you saying that people don't have challenges? Everybody have challenges. But what are you going to do about it? Not the fact that whether you have challenges or not, is how are you going to fight back? How are you going to fight back? Sometimes we don't pay any attention to what the word says. We know what the word says, but we don't act on it. Except in church. The pastor say this, all day saying it. Yeah, but when you leave the church, all of a sudden, mouth just close up till next Sunday. As far as speaking faith. Because we're dealing with everything else. People say, well, I like to go to a church where they deal with reality. This is reality. And Jesus came and did what he did so you could beat life down instead of life beating you down. Amen, somebody. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, you know, you talk about all the different vices people deal with and all. And I said, you know, from a child, and everybody make decisions about what they do in life. But some people, they start a lot earlier than others. You know, smoking. Just give them an example of smoking. You have to make yourself smoke. Because if you first start smoking, try to smoke, your body rejects it. You have to override it. Yeah, same thing with drinking alcohol, smoking weed. Your body your body's rejecting stuff, but you have to stand there and hold it to hostage and say, no, you're going to do this because somebody else is doing it. And I'm cool if I do it. No, you ain't no cool, you're a fool. Your body's trying to tell you that. Speaking of commercials, remember the commercial where the guy goes to eat something, like he's eating this Italian food, and all of a sudden he goes to eat, and all of a sudden that like the spaghetti slaps him. Pap, 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 pap. It's like, whoa, I guess I need this. Of course, you need this right here for you so you don't, yeah, and acids or something like that. Yeah, that's where your body's fighting. And you have to make yourself, do these things. Until you get to the point that you become addicted to it. Then your body start calling for it. Then you say, Pastor, can you pray for me that I get delivered from it? Ain't no shortcuts to it. Amen. It is possible, though. Amen, somebody. But we got to do things God's way. Amen. Again, what did he say do? Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Some people, you know what the attitude is? Everybody going to die from something. And that's the attitude. So you tell me I need to just go ahead and just put myself in a position where I got to deal with a whole lot of issues just because something, everybody going to die from something. How about you just die because you're through living, doing everything you need to do? You're just through. But I'm not affected by all this other stuff that the world is trying to sell me. You know, some people, I mean, when it comes to giving, everybody going to give something to somebody or to somewhere. You know, just I saw a sign the other day, cigarettes, $5 something a carton. A pack. Yeah, a pack. Oh, thank you for helping me with that. A pack. You tell I'm not a cigarette smoker. I don't know. Yeah, a pack. I mean, my daddy used to smoke. He used to smoke Pall Mall cigarettes. And I never liked cigarettes. I always liked to wear cologne. Yeah, I always liked cologne. I like spray on cologne. And I grew up in a house that we didn't have this all the stuff we got nowadays. You know, indoor air and heating and all that. We had to make a fire in the stove and throw smoke and everything like that. I hate going to school smelling like smoke, smelling like that wood burning and all that. Oh, I just never liked that. And even though it was good food, cooked good food and all that kind of stuff, I never liked that. And so I never got into cigarette smoking. I just like, that's not me. That's not me. Everybody got their own thing, you know, but that's not me. And so I just watch people go from one thing to the other. My dad I told you my dad was a sociable drinker. You know, you mentioned something, he said, I'll drink to that. My dad, he's a lovely, lovely person. But after he came back from the war, they said something happened to him. They're trying to suppress and put down images and all that other stuff. I don't beat him up or anything like that. I know war is not pretty. Man was never designed to kill one another. And sometimes you're going to live. Sometimes that's what you got to do. The opposition. And then, you know, you ain't got nothing against the person that you're going to kill other than that he's trying to kill you. You know, like Muhammad Ali said. He said, I ain't going to Vietnam. The Vietnamese, they ain't done nothing to me. He's not one... My Lord, I'm going off track here. He said, there's not one Viet Cong that called me a nigger. He said, why am I going to fight here? He said, it's the folks that here call me niggers. Oh, my. My said, oh, Pastor, use the N-word. The N-word is nice, right? No, but hear this. Sometimes we get so caught up in everything else. Get caught up in what the world is saying. All of a sudden, what God said and how we're supposed to walk, it doesn't even factor into how we live. Doesn't even factor into it. God tell us to walk in love. Ain't nobody walking in love. How are we going to walk in love? You know, people don't love this, don't love the government. Hate the government, hate this one, hate that. President Trump goes over to Europe. There's rioting going on. What's that all about? You know, some people may be paid to do some stuff, but You know, you don't have to do that either. You can make money other ways. Praise the Lord. But you know, you see how far we get away from, why we get so far away from the word? Because of other people's ideas and agendas. And our eyes are not looking at this. It's real easy to shape society if we get them looking at the same thing. And that's why one reason I believe that we need to drain the swamp where the news media is concerned. I mean, you understand, they're getting paid to do what they do. Whether they believe it or not, they're getting paid. You know, whether they believe what they're saying, they get paid to do what they do. And they get paid well. And they may be a Christian and get up and say some of the most outlandish things. Like, I thought he was a Christian. How can you get up and say stuff like that? Because their eyes are not looking at this. Their eyes are looking at something else. You're looking at other people, what other folks are saying, not looking at what God said. Amen, somebody. Then it goes on and said, let your eyes, verse 25, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Let how many of them? Listen here. You got to become planted. Bible talk about being planted in the house of the Lord. I woke up this morning. This thought was on my mind. I posted it on Facebook. I haven't went back to see what anybody said about it yet. There's more than one way to preach, more than one place to preach. You know, sometimes you can start a discussion just by saying something on Facebook. And folks will let you know whether they agree with you or they disagree with you. And some folks take it personal. I posted on Facebook, I said, you know, he who started the church went to church regularly. And people use all kind of reasons not to go to church. We ain't talked about that part yet. I just felt like it just opened it up for discussion. You know? And so, he who started the church, he went to church. Luke chapter 4, the scripture said, as it was his custom to go to the synagogue every week. And I said, years ago, we used to have this little bracelet, WWJD. What would Jesus do? I said, we need to come up with a bracelet. What did Jesus do? And go thou and do likewise. Amen. Amen. Then they ask, what would he do? I said, what did he do? And then go do likewise. Whatever he said, whatever he, not just what would he do, but what did he do? As somebody said, actions speak louder than words. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. And coming up as a, if you want to obey God, you obey him. Coming up as a child, well, the church that we attended was 50 miles away. 50 miles away, one way. When you want to go and be a part of something, you will. And then when we were, if we ever went out of town, which we seldom did, you know, like on vacation or something, we went to church on Sunday. Because Sunday is the Lord's day, whether you're on vacation or not. I ain't never heard nobody say that, but I say that myself. Sunday is the Lord's day, whether you're on vacation or not. And it was part of society where society, they attended church somewhere, even if it's another city, because the day is the Lord's day. One thing our president could do that'll help is to bring that point up. See, sometimes God take a little time in planting things in society to get people back where they need to be. I know a lot of people don't like the president and everything, But you can't have a nice president and get this nation back where it need to be. I mean, that when I say nice, he's a nice person, but I'm talking about a person that bend to what everybody says. In other words, you got to have some backbone. You have to have some convictions. Otherwise, you know, all these other countries talking about America losing its leadership. America ain't losing its leadership. You just losing some of our money. That's the bottom line. They don't talk about that part, you know, because we giving you money. And all of a sudden, we need to back. We need to stay in front so we can keep giving you money to do what you can get your own money and do it. Amen. So anyway, to bring the nation back to front and center where we need to be, focus on him. A lot of times, drastic things have to be done. And God in his wisdom got somebody that can handle drastic things. And before it's all said and done, what you saw in the last two Democratic administrations, you're going to see things shift back the way the church need to be. Society is shifting. The Bible said, the Bible talks about when the righteous are in authority, certain things happen. Also, when the wicked are in authority, certain things happen. Are you calling the president righteous? Well, he said he was a Christian. He's a nationalist. He believes in the United States of America. He's not into one world government. He says America first. Amen. Somebody said, well, what about the world? What about them? Yeah. We the biggest givers in the world, this nation. We the most in debt too, but. And God's going to help us with that too. But first of all, our hearts got to be turned toward him. Amen. And so stop drinking that Kool-Aid that all these other TV, these news networks are sharing to you. Because they ain't sharing news, they're sharing their opinions. Yeah, they're sharing their opinions about this, that, and the other, and most of it runs contrary to what the Bible said. I heard somebody say something that really stood out to me. A Christian, when they're speaking, they speak from more than one view. The world speaks only from the world view. We speak from the biblical view as well as the world. But the world only speak from the world view. So if that's the only solution that they have, that's why everything keeps changing. Because they're not following somebody who knows everything. They're following someone who cares less about you. And everything is about me. And it's not to help somebody else. It's not to change somebody else. It's all about what I can get. And, you know, it's about backstabbing and all this other stuff. But when we talk about from God's viewpoint, all of a sudden, it's not just about me. It's about him, number one. It's about loving your neighbors. It's about believing on the name of Jesus. Amen. That's what it's about. But the worldview, you'll never hear them say on CNN, MSNBC, even Fox News. You'll never hear them get up and talk about, you know, believing on the name of Jesus. And, you know, treating your neighbor as yourself. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, all thy might, and all thy strength. They're not talking about that. So it's a conflict in society. And it seems like the church is losing it. But we ain't going to lose. Because we have it on good authority. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Look at somebody and say, we ain't going nowhere. Amen. So if we're not going anywhere, there's going to be a lot of other stuff that's going to be drained. We're going to flush it. Amen. We're going to flush it. Amen. Hallelujah. You're talking about, you're about to see some of the greatest revivals about to take place in this nation and in the earth. You're about to see some of the greatest moves of God than you ever seen before. I speak it. I declare it right now. You're going to see it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's see verse 27. It says, do not turn to the right or to the left. remove your foot from evil. Now, that's not up for negotiation. If God said do it, then do it. Because he knows what the end result is. Somebody say, I'm going to do what God said do. The way God said do it. When God said do it. Amen. You know, when we decide we're going to follow his ways, it changes everything. Amen. It does what? It changes everything. And one last scripture. I'll get back to Acts here later. One last scripture, Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 says, "Ho, hello. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy?" This kind of goes right back to what I'm talking about. "Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is what? Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his what? Let them return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now we understand God loves who? Everybody. Christ died for who? He died for everybody. He died for the world. But here again we see that there's two sets here. You got people that are following God and people that are way away from God. And wicked thoughts are thoughts that are just twisted. They're twisted. And the Bible said, let the wicked forsake. Forsake those things. And then it says, verse 8. "For my thoughts are not your, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth." So shall my word be that what? From where? From my mouth. "It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So we have to make adjustments. Let your eyes look right on. Incline your ear to what I'm saying. Develop my thoughts. Walk in my ways. And you'll walk in the highway and not the low way. You begin to experience the results that God said you should experience while you're here in the rotten here and now. You'll experience a life here as Jesus prayed that the will of the Father is done here on the earth even as it is in heaven. Even as it is up there, you can live here on the earth as though you were already up there. You can have answers to your prayers, to your whatever challenges that you face in life. You can obtain them here just like you were already there. Amen, somebody. But the key is our ears and our eyes and our mouth. Three things. Our ears, what are you listening to? Our eyes, what are you looking at? Our mouth, what are you saying? Are you saying what God's saying, or are you saying what the world's saying? Are you looking at God's word, or are you looking at everybody else's? People tell me, say, you know what? You're a nice person. They tell me this person, you're a nice person. But I tell you, you're so limited. You just spend most of your time reading this thing right here, the Bible. You need to read some of things like Shakespeare and all these other books and all that. And I'm not against all those books, but I'm going to give my attention more to this than any other book. I want this to form my worldview more so than some other person. Amen. This right here should shape your worldview, your national view, your home view. Amen. That's another one last thing. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, you know what? America, listen, America needs a dad. They used to have Mr. Huxtable, Bill Cosby. And he impacted, literally, he impacted a lot of America, red, yellow, black, and white. But he made a mistake. Somebody said, what mistake did he make? He decided he was going to buy NBC. And there are some people that didn't want him to buy it. So they said, you know what? We're going to change the image and we're going to defame you. They knew all the stuff that he had been going on all through the years, but they didn't say anything because they were making money off of him. The world is wicked. It's wicked. He could have bought NBC. You know, how you can go back 50 years and pull up stuff? And people, and the thing, who went and got the information? Who decided that this information needed to be in the news? Sometimes people don't think. It's just whatever they say, people just go for it. And they know that people do that. They know they got your attention, and they know you're going to act on it. All of a sudden, you're not going over there. You're not going to buy stuff from him. Or you know what? I'm going to avoid your concerts. I'm not going there, and I'm not going there. Because they know how you think. People don't understand. Most people don't think for themselves. Yeah, that's what it was. He decided he was going to buy NBC. It was coming up for sale. He decided he's going to buy it. And some people that you never know who they are, they said, we ain't going to let this man come over here and buy NBC. You know why? Because number one, you get in here, you'll influence people. And we want to be the influencers. Matter of fact, any influence that you have, we're going to destroy it. And they did a pretty good job. That's why I tell you, you got to walk in righteousness. So they have no evil thing to say of you. And if they say it, it's wrong. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Choose God's way. Walk in his ways. And watch him confirm his word. Amen. Hallelujah. This one a little bit different than what I thought I would go do today. But nevertheless, I believe I heard from God as I was here, standing here, and to go the direction that I went, and I'm glad I did. Amen. You get anything out of the word today? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.